This is Evan Kleiman, your fearless host of Good Food. I thought this morning, instead of starting with music like we usually do, we might just have a little chat. First, I wanted to thank you for podcasting this show. We've discovered that you podcasters are a wonderfully passionate group. We tend to hear from you more than we hear from any other group of listeners, and we love it. We love getting those emails from Tokyo or Germany or Silver Lake or even Afghanistan. But I thought I might tell you something that you don't know. This week, we're raising money for KCRW, this station, and for this show, Good Food, for our operating budget. This is a public radio station, and we depend on you as individuals for our support. And that covers everything, including the bandwidth that you just used to download this show. That bandwidth, for example, costs us about $150,000 a year. So if you'd like to contribute some dough, we're going to give you an opportunity. You can go online to kcrw.com/join. And just as a favor to us, please note that you're supporting Good Food. That way we get an idea of how many of you are not only devoted and vocal listeners, but supportive ones as well. To give you an extra little incentive, we always have a sweepstakes that's just for Good Food every time we do a drive. For this drive, we have a beautiful 10.5-inch copper skillet. It's gorgeous. If you don't want to use it as a tool, which you really should, because as well as being beautiful, it's incredibly effective, you could just hang it on the wall as a fabulous piece of sculpture. We're giving away 2 smart cars, trips to Australia. But more than that, it just would really mean a lot to me. Okay, that's it. That is the hardest sell you will ever get from me. I hope you'll go to kcrw.com and subscribe. It will mean more good food for all of us. Thanks. Now here's the show. I'm Evan Kleiman, and this is Good Food on KCRW and kcrw.com. Do you love hot dogs, but get a little squeamish thinking about what's in them? Well, hot dogs just may be the most sustainable form of beef there is. And I'll tell you about some very special pigs being raised in Iowa that have already been sold for $3,500 apiece to area chefs. Jonathan Gold's here with another place to try. Plus, I'll tell you how you can pledge your dollars to KCRW and have a chance at winning an absolutely beautiful copper skillet. First, let's get to the farmer's market and see what's in season this week.
This is Laura Avery with the Market Report. We're here at the market chatting with Cliff Wright, who's a longtime customer here at the market. He's always racing around. He's always got a list in one hand and a bag of goodies in the other. And Cliff, of course, we're very interested in knowing what kind of stuff you're shopping for and what kind of recipes you're working on right now.
Well, my list, it's sort of pathetic that I have a list with one item on it, but if I don't write it down, I won't buy it. So I've got 3 artichokes, and what I'm making tonight is a Sicilian macaroni dish. It's a tiny little macaroni called macaroncini, and with the artichoke hearts that are cooked in butter and then tossed with ricotta cheese. That's all it is to it. And some pancetta for some kind of a little flavor.
Now, do you saute that?
Well, what I do is I steam the whole artichoke, and then pull all the bracts off and scrape the flesh off, and I save that for little canapes. And then I take the hearts and, you know, remove the choke, cut them into strips, and then they get sautéed briefly
in butter.
And then the heat is reduced, and I add some lemon juice, and it finishes cooking in lemon juice. Then it gets mixed with the pasta and the ricotta cheese.
And when do you add, or do you fry the pancetta too?
At the same time. Or actually just before the artichokes, with the artichokes and the lemon juice, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing tonight. But the big thing is, and I'm getting geared up for, is my next book is coming out next month called Bake Until Bubbly, published by John Wiley. And it is the ultimate casserole cookbook.
Oh, that sounds...
250 casseroles.
Oh,
so,
that sounds...
You know, old-time favorites like tuna noodle casserole to things you've never heard of, like punti, which is a Swiss chard pudding from France.
Oh, that sounds good. Now tell me, to go back to these artichokes, you say the bracts, those are the leaves. You say you put those aside for canapes?
First of all, remember, this is already cooked. So
right.
I boil it or steam the artichoke for about 50 minutes until they're really tender. Then I pull those bracts. Well, they're actually called bracts. Artichokes have leaves, but we don't eat them. They come on the stem. So this is part of the flower head that you pull these things that we call leaves off. And on the inside of it, down the bottom, that's very tender flesh that you can eat.
The part we used to dip in butter.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is I scrape that off with a spoon of all 3 artichokes. It's a little bit of work.
Yeah.
And, you know, eat a few every now and then. And then you just save all of that, and then that can be mixed with other things like canned tuna or whatever, blended, and spread onto little pieces of bread for canapé.
I never would have thought to do something that creative.
Never throw anything away. Everything gets used. Everything gets used.
What a great idea. That's such. And thank you for the clarification that it's a bracken, not a leaf. Of course, because artichokes have stems. This is the flower we're basically eating.
This is the flower we're eating. That's right.
So nice to visualize that.
Yes.
All right, Cliff.
Great
talking
to you, Laura.
So exciting about the new book. And nice talking to you, too. That was Cliff Wright. And there's a great, new, exciting book coming out, Bake Until Bubbly. It's all about casseroles. How perfect. We're visiting now with Kinney Jung, who is a longtime employee friend of Weiser Family Farms. You know them as the potato guy in the winter and the melon guy in the summer and everything in between. And right now, Kinney, it's winter, and you have lovely, lovely, aside from all your gorgeous potatoes, all these great root crops. You've got many multicolored carrots. You've got beets, turnips. So let's talk about some of these things, starting with these white carrots, which I love.
We have three types of carrots. We have the orange, and we have the yellow. We have the white carrots.
And the three of them together are good for roasting. I think I've had the white. They're just delicious to eat. I think the yellow are probably a little more woody, probably better roasted.
They are definitely better cooked. I prefer to have the orange and the white on the raw.
And then you would roast the yellow ones, although they can all be cooked together.
I do, about 350. I roast them for about 30 minutes with a little bit of olive oil, salt, and pepper.
Mm-hmm. About half an hour, 20 minutes to a half an hour.
That's correct.
Yeah, and they're
small. I say sometimes fork tender.
Fork tender. Okay, and you've got the little red, the long skinny red beets, those are the Chioggia beets.
Yeah, the Chioggia beets are just out right now.
And they've got their red and white stripes when you cut them open. They're fun to look at.
They're beautiful visually.
Yeah. And then the turnips, too. They're everywhere. They're wonderful to cook with. And
you know, a lot of people puree them. A lot of people just cook them and cut them up like that. They have a real nice taste. I'm really into the parsnips right now. To puree them in with either apples or even pears is a beautiful way to go.
Okay, Kinney. Well, your stand, as always, is a real thrill to come and visit. And you got the potatoes and all these nice roots. So good time of year to be cooking something in the oven in this cold weather. Thanks so much, Kinney.
Thank you. We work for the underground.
That was Kinney Jung, and he is a longtime employee over here at Weiser Family Farms. You can see him at the Santa Monica markets, and they have this lovely array of delicious root vegetables right now. We like to think of the KCRW Good Food Market Report as part of the whole farmers market program that we are so proud of here in Santa Monica. The farmers love coming here. They love to be on the radio. They love to talk to their customers and to subscribers and to listeners on the radio station, and they're very proud of what they do. You can hear it in their voices. You can hear it in the enthusiasm they have for the wonderful products they grow. And without the radio being the window and the ears to what the farmers grow every week, many listeners in the Los Angeles area would not be aware of the amazing bounty that is available in California at farmers markets. So I'm very proud to be part of this station. I'm happy to subscribe. I'm very proud to be a subscriber. And I hope you'll all join me today in picking up the phone, calling the station, and becoming a member supporter if you're not already one. Please continue to listen to the program and enjoy the stories that the California farmers are going to be telling you over the next months and years. For the Market Report, this is Laura Avery.
Jonathan Gold's the Pulitzer Prize-winning critic who writes about food. He once drove the length of Pico Boulevard eating at every single restaurant on the street. He's with us next to expose us to a new place that you're going to just want to try. I don't think it's on Pico, though. That's coming up next on Good Food on KCRW. It's that lovely time of Saturday morning where you get to have your very own recommendation by Jonathan Gold. Jonathan Gold, of course, is the Pulitzer Prize-winning food writer for the Los Angeles Weekly, writing many, many, many counterintelligence columns that tell us where to point our cars when we want to have something a little special. Good morning.
Good morning.
And where are we going today?
We are going to Artesia.
Must be Indian food.
Artesia has foods from all over the world, but in fact, this is Indian food.
So what type of Indian cuisine is this?
This is vegetarian food, southern vegetarian food, and I guess specifically from Andhra Pradesh, which is a state.
And what's the name of the restaurant?
The name of the restaurant is Tirupati Bimas.
Is that someone's name?
Tirupathi is a famous temple town.
Oh, there you go.
Towards the southern part of the state. And the site of like thousands of pilgrimages. Supposedly more people visit it every year than visit the Vatican.
Oh, interesting. So given that we're in the southern part of the state and we're eating vegetarian food, for those who aren't familiar with what they can expect on a menu, what do you mostly see?
You mostly see batter cakes of various different kinds. There are idlis, which are the steamed things out of fermented rice flour. There are vadas, which are fried things, great lentil donuts. And there are dosas, which are the thinnest possible pancakes that are very crisp and huge. I mean, this one is the size of like those maps of the United States you used to see on the wall. That
they're like baseball bats once they're rolled up.
They are. And here, if you order the child's dosa, it comes in sort of this cone just rising majestically from the plate.
And what do you usually like to get as the filling, since dosas usually come with different sort of options?
I guess the basic one is the masala dosa, which is filled with, spiced potatoes. And I tend to get the one that's just by itself, which comes with a few chutneys for dipping and is...
Oh, so good.
So good.
It has a level of crackliness and crispiness when you bite into it that's unlike anything else.
Yeah. Their specialty are the thali platters, probably, which are giant combination plates, big stainless steel platters with a big bowl of rice in the middle, maybe a chapati, maybe a papadum, and then nine little bowls of stews and soups and spicy things around it.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. In terms of what other places around there that you've had that have similar food, what does this offer that's different?
One thing is the basic spiciness of the food, especially if you order the spicy Andhra thali, which is one of their basic ones. They also have one that's called the non-spicy Andhra thali, which is almost identical, actually, except for...
the level of heat?
They swap out a couple of things.
So is this a place that's known for heat? Like the heat, the spicy one is really spicy?
It's not like Southern Thai spicy, but it's plenty spicy.
Do they have udapams?
They do have udapams.
Describe what an udapam is. I love them.
An udapam is a sort of pancake made out of various pulses that have been ground and fermented. And theirs are controversial because they're big. So you order like their house special udapam, and it is the size of a deep dish Chicago pizza.
And so it's controversial because of the size?
Because of the size, because it's like very fried, because it, it has none of that delicacy. It's sort of like a brutal udapam. And the house special one is topped with what seems like, half a can of the fancy mixed nutmeg mix, fried in butter.
Oh, God. That's
embedded in the batter. It's so good. It's so wrong, but it is so good.
It's like an Indian version of a macadamia nut pancake.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. So once again, tell us where this is and the name of the restaurant.
This is Tirupathi Bhimas. It is at 18792 Pioneer Boulevard in Artesia. And after a dinner here, you've got to go downstairs to the Saffron Spot, which has, 20 flavors of Indian ice cream, the likes of which you have never tasted before.
Oh, how fabulous. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Jonathan Gold is the restaurant writer for the LA Weekly. He's won a Pulitzer Prize for his omnivorous ways, and I feel lucky to have him here nearly every week. Hot dogs are such an efficient way to eat meat. They're rolled up, so cute, and they come in their own little custom bun. But for years, they've gotten a bad rap for what's supposedly inside them. There's a new hot dog cart in town that's serving up some truly special dogs, hot dogs made with grass-fed beef. But it's not just the prime cuts that make it in these dogs. I want to show you how eating hot dogs in all their glorious and unflattering parts is a truly sustainable act. That's coming up next on Good Food. For those of us who try and eat in a healthy manner, and even more, eat sustainably, often the hot dog becomes an obstacle. It's a hard thing to give up, yet, how do you have one that's kind of sustainable? Well, enter Sue Moore. Sue Moore is the former meat forager for Chez Panisse. When she was there, they used to buy 2 head of cattle every other week. They used all parts of the animal. And she's ended up opening a hot dog stand, actually several hot dog stands all over the place, but our local one is here in Culver City. It's called Let's Be Frank. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Evan. How are you?
I'm great. So how did you go from being Alice's forager to being a producer of hot dogs?
Well, when I started doing the meat foraging at Chez Panisse, I learned a lot about the livestock business, and more and more of the farmers and ranchers want to direct market their animals to the public. And when you start talking about beef, you're talking about, you know, that's an 1,100, you know, pound animal. That's a lot of meat on that animal that is not, you know, prime rib. But a lot of those bits make for a beautiful hot dog. And we thought, wow, here's an opportunity for us to pick up some of what would be less fancy bits. In that way, the rancher would be easier to market the whole animal. If they can get rid of, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, some of these subprimal cuts or whatnot.
So the subprimal, what parts would that be?
Things like a lot of the cuts around the shoulder, the leg is a tough one to get rid of. So we use, for our Let's Be Frank dog, we use predominantly shoulder, you know, chuck rolls, shoulder clawed for the lean. But you need the fat. You got to have the fat. That's what makes a great hot dog.
Describe the flavor of the dog and also the mouthfeel of it. How does it differ from just a regular hot dog, all beef hot dog that we might have?
I think what strikes people initially is we use a lamb casing, so the dog has a good snap. A lot of hot dogs these days don't use a casing.
It's too... I love that snap.
Yeah.
To me, if it doesn't have snap, it's not like a real old-fashioned dog.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And I think grass-fed beef is more flavorful. It's more robust. And so I would say our 100% grass-fed beef dog, it's more beefy. It is spiced in a very traditional fashion, but it's super clean. You know, again, there's no nitrates or nitrites. It's really, there's no
filler. It's uncured. This is really the challenges of doing an artisanal, sustainable food business, is that nothing is sort of off the shelf.
Exactly. And grass-fed beef, boy, is it not off the shelf. It's almost off the map. What's happened in the last 50 or 60 years since with the advent of the feedlot, our genetic diversity of all of our livestock has narrowed dramatically. And an animal, especially cattle, a cattle that will marble and be delicious and beautiful on grass, is a completely different body style than an animal that would optimize in a feedlot situation. A feedlot animal is very big, big boned, lots of meat. It's all about quantity. A grass-fed animal is a smaller animal. It just mows down that grass, efficiently turns it to protein, so there'll be energy left over to marble.
So let's go back to the casing for a second. What exactly do you use for the casing?
Well, it's a sheep casing. We tried different casings, but the sheep casing we found is the nicest. It seems the most
healthy. So is that the intestine of the sheep?
Well, it is indeed. And a funny story about that is, our hot dog, you know, you have to have the right, you know, dog to bun ratio. And so our bun is maybe about 6 inches long. And so
who bakes the bun?
Well, in Los Angeles, Breadworks Bakery makes the bun. Up in San Francisco, where we started, Acme Bread makes our bun. And so our dog is a 5-to-1. In other words, it's not a quarter pounder. It's, you know, it's 5 dogs to a pound.
What were you looking for in a bun?
We were looking for a poofy, old-fashioned, preferably organic flour bun.
And now you decided to, instead of opening a storefront somewhere, you decided to go the cart way.
Right. We were very interested in wanting to get good food out at a price point that, you know, pretty much was available to everyone.
How much does the dog cost?
Well, with sales tax, it's $5.
And where do you have carts located right now?
Here in Los Angeles, we are just on Helms Avenue, right in the old Helms Bakery complex, that beautiful old Art Deco complex.
Oh, I can't wait to taste them. How do you like them topped?
Me personally, I like a little bit of mustard and a little bit of kraut.
Mmm, kraut. Yum. Sounds good. Thank you so much, Sue.
Thank you so much, Evan. This has been really fun.
So once again, that is Sue Moore, former livestock forager for Chez Panisse, who now has Let's Be Frank hot dogs. We'll have a link to their website, and you can go to the Helms Bakery today if you so desire, the old Helms complex, and have yourself a really great hot dog. Sustainable meat eating seems to be our theme this show. There's some pigs that were raised in Iowa that were sold to area chefs from hoof to tail. Each month or so, the chefs will get some part of the pig with the goal to use every single part of the animal. More on these special hogs next when Good Food returns. A pig is a pig is a pig, right? Well, not even close. Jennifer Sneerson is the Vice President of Business Development of Chef's Warehouse, and they put together a program where chefs actually bought shares in these amazing Berkshire pigs. The first products are now coming to these chefs who are starting to play with the ingredients, so we thought it was time to check in with Jennifer and see how it's going. It's so great to have you here to talk about these really exciting animals that have recently come into town from La Quercha. Could you remind us about what is so special about this particular grower and what it is they're trying to do with these pigs?
Well, what's special about these pigs is, first of all, they are domestic. The pigs have been raised in an organic fashion, and the pigs have been fed acorns, which is the first time, this is the first program of its kind in America where we're able to raise and produce a domestic organic acorn-fed pig.
And, of course, these acorn-fed pigs are the famous pigs of Spain that everyone says just the best Serrano ham in the world comes from these pigs that forage in the forests and eat acorns.
It is. The specific breed in Spain is slightly different than this specific pig, but these are Berkshire cross pigs. So they are of the heirloom Berkshire variety, which is really what you're looking for in this type of program.
Because it lays down a lot of fat. This pig.
It lays down a lot of fat. There's really rich flavor in that fat, and the muscle fiber is shorter in the Berkshire varietal, which produces a silkier, tender, juicier meat.
Wow. Now, these people, La Quercha, who are they?
Ah, La Quercha. Interestingly enough, La Quercha, literally in Italian, translates to the oak. And from the start, La Quercha had in their minds that they wanted to produce these acorn-fed domestic pigs and sort of duplicate the program in Spain here, right here in America. So La Quercha is owned by Herb and Kathy Eckhaus, and they, along with their team, produce prosciutto and guanciale and lardo and speck.
Now, do they actually grow the animals as well as produce food products from them?
They don't have a farm. However, just a couple of hours away from Norwalk, Iowa, where they're located, they do have a few suppliers they buy from. Jude Becker from Becker Lane is the one who raised the acorn pigs for us. And Jude has about 300 acres of family organic farming land right in Iowa.
So these pigs were allowed to root and nest and do all the things that pigs love to do, and then they were fed the acorns. It wasn't that they were taken to a forest and allowed to forage themselves.
It's true. Because Jude does have a large space of land and it is organic and it's all family run and 24-hour-a-day monitored, these pigs had a really special situation. I believe typical confinement for pigs is about 7 square feet per animal, and these pigs had at least 100 square feet per animal. So they were running around outside, and they were actually given a choice with their feed. Jude does grow organic corn and soy on the farm. So the pigs were given a choice between the acorns and the feed. And the first week, they didn't know how to crunch and munch open the acorns. And Jude was really nervous because all this effort had gone into the program and the pigs wouldn't eat the acorns. But after about a week and a half, they figured out how to do it. And from that day forward, they chose the acorns every time.
Oh, that's so interesting. So we've both referred to the program. Now, what is it about this program that makes it so unusual?
What we did is we sold subscriptions for the pigs. So rather than having the pigs butchered and broken down and sold part by part, we had 50 pigs and we sold 50 subscriptions so that when you bought the subscription, you got every single part of the pig. You got all of the fresh meat and the offal and the head and the tail and anything fresh right after butchering. And then during the year, about every 6 to 8 weeks, each chef will receive a delivery, and it's as each product is cured and ready.
So who signed up from L.A.?
In L.A., we have the Napa Valley Grill in Westwood. We have Tiara Cafe, Fred Eric in downtown L.A., Octavio Becerra, who's going to be opening up Palette Food and Wine in Glendale this year. We have the Viceroy in Palm Springs, the Manhattan Beach Country Club, Wilshire Restaurant in Santa Monica, and chef owner Chris Blobaum and I actually went to Iowa just right after the pigs were butchered to go experience the salting, and we assisted Herb in making the fresh sausage. And Hotel Casa Del Mar has a two-pig program.
And so what kind of feedback have you had?
So far, I've received the most amazing response. We got an incredible note from Maria Sinsky up at Sinsky Vineyards that was the best sausage she had ever tasted in her life. Octavio Becerra and Fred Eric were really, really happy with their fresh shipment. Chris Blobaum is going to be making some extra sausage with some trim over at Wilshire Restaurant. So everyone so far has said it has, without a doubt, been the best pork they've ever tasted.
And are you already starting to sign up new subscriptions?
We're definitely going to run the program again next year. This was Acorn Edition number one. I've had a few requests that people are interested in buying certain cuts for their restaurants of the acorn variety, but the way the program works, it really only works if you do a whole pig subscription so that everybody can get value from the lardo and the shoulder and all of the other cuts.
Did we mention how much the whole pig cost?
It was a very expensive pig. It was $3,000 per animal.
Wow. But then you get a lot of stuff for that $3,000. How many pounds of material will they have to work with?
The pigs were about 300 pounds at time of kill, and the yield is going to be just around 150 pounds of total cured and fresh meat. So it's about half the weight of the pig.
Well, Jennifer, I mean, it's really been fun talking to you about this, and I look forward to other unique programs that you put together over there at Chef's Warehouse.
Thank you so much for having me, Evan.
Find out more about La Quercha online at kcrw.com/goodfood. I hope you'll consider that this show is supported by you, by subscribers. Please do what you can, become a member or renew your membership. Sometimes I know it's hard to remember to do that. Do it online now at kcrw.com/join. And remember that if you put good food in the comment section, you'll be automatically enrolled in a chance to win our special Good Food sweepstakes, which this time around is the Moviel Professional Copper Skillet. Go to the site at kcrw.com/goodfood to see a picture of it. As always, you can find info on today's show, watch the latest videos of Good Food, including the newest video podcasts, and hear past episodes online at kcrw.com/goodfood. Write me. We love to hear from you at goodfood@kcrw.com. Good Food's executive producer is Jennifer Farrow. The show is produced by Thea Challoner with Bob Carlson, Candace Moyer, Connie Alvarez, and Holly Tarson. The music supervisor is Gary Masiha. Special thanks to Karen Soriano. I'm Evan Kleiman. I love being the host of this show, so join me next week for a full edition of Good Food.